the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. And it's not just Chris and Casey today.
That's right. We have a guest in the studio. Everybody say hello to Luke Jensen.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Luke, you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan.
I sure am.
Long-suffering, is that how every Minnesota Timberwolves fan would describe themselves?
You know what? I think that's accurate because, honestly, I started watching them in the playoffs of 2004. And if you know Timberwolves history...
Who's the starting five for this team?
That would be... Oh, do you know?
I mean, I can guess.
Okay.
Garnett.
Yes.
Cassell.
Yes.
Sprewell.
Yes.
Yeah,
no one knows these last two.
Okay. A
couple of defensive specialists.
Yeah.
See if you know any defensive specialists from 15 years ago.
I'm just thinking, I know it's not Anthony Tolliver.
No.
Because, you know, he wasn't in the league yet, but...
Tony Allen.
No. I mean, I'm drawing a blank. I got three.
Okay.
I'm like pretty proud of getting three, but I mean, I think everybody would.
I would have gotten Kevin Garnett. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten Cassell.
No.
No.
Okay, so they were Trenton Hassel.
Oh yes.
And Irvin Tragic Johnson.
Ooh, Irvin Johnson.
Yes. Tragic is absolutely his nickname. Let's see. I mean, on Basketball Reference, is that his nickname too?
I don't know if that's officially listed on there. Do they put mean ones on there?
I think they do put mean ones on there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I think you can pay to have, or it used to be that
there
you could
was
pay
a thing
to
you could pay to put things onto that.
I don't know if they still have that anymore because they get real ad money now.
Mm.
But Irvin Tragic Johnson.
Yes,
is,
they. That was a team where they also had Michael Olowokandi and Wally Szczerbiak, but they both had like significant injuries that year and missed a lot of time. So those two ended up being
one of those is real bummer that you were not in having the services of the Candyman.
You don't want a Szczerbiak on the court?
I mean, here's the thing about Wally Szczerbiak. Those eyebrows were too thick, just far too thick. How could he shoot underneath those eyebrows? Like even Anthony Davis, home of the unibrow, way less eyebrow than Wally Szczerbiak.
Wally Szczerbiak is a rich man's Austin Crozier.
Because, like, Wally Szczerbiak had a good career, right? He's one of those guys who lasted in the league for a long time, played on
a lot of really good teams.
Yeah. He's a one-time All-Star type guy. He had one All-Star season.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. How far we've come.
I mean, he's got to be on the list of worst All-Stars, right?
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine.
Because who's the other? There's like another guy where it's like, that guy was an all-star? And I think he was like
last week we talked about, I mean, it was deserved, but I was surprised that Goran Dragic was ever all-NBA. Oh,
I mean, Goran Dragic, star of our game of the week.
That's,
one of the 15 stars on the entire Miami
like
Heat roster.
Second best player on the team after Duncan Robinson.
So you started in 2004 as like a super fan.
Yes. So that's what I started watching at all, is in the playoffs of 2004. So I watched them be good for about a month and then terrible for 15 years.
So why did you start watching in the first place? What brought you into the Timberwolves? Is it a regional thing or were you like, I need to pick a team?
It is regional. I'm from Fargo. Okay. So the closest team to us is Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I had like been to a couple preseason games. Like sometimes they would come to Fargo and go to the Fargo Dome, you know, for some of their preseason games.
Always the Fargo Dome. The biggest dome in all of North Dakota.
Yeah. I remember I went to see a game with Stephon Marbury and Kevin Garnett once in the preseason when they came to Fargo. Yeah. I could not make out who they were from where our seats were.
How many people in LA do you meet who have ever even been to North Dakota? Like, what percentage of people that
just people scouting for Fargo, the TV series.
Yes.
That's taking location
photos. That's the one. Anybody who's a huge Coen Brothers fan. No, but seriously, though, like, do you meet people who have been there? Like, I feel like North Dakota is one of those places that, like, only very few people who are, like, around here have been to.
Yeah. Honestly, maybe, like, two in the 7 years I've lived here.
Wow.
Well, North Dakota, I assume, is a not super densely populated state. yeah. to begin with. So there's not even a lot of North Dakotans to like have come to California. No.
Yeah, Fargo's the biggest city in North Dakota. And it's about like maybe 120,000.
So this is like Silver Lake, basically.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. I have been to North Dakota.
Whoa! Three! Yes. We just made it. Three!
I have not been for very long.
Yeah.
But growing up, my great-grandmother lived in Scottsbluff, Nebraska.
Okay.
Which we would go to and visit, and then we would often like travel north. You know, just like, hey, we don't. There's nothing to do in Scottsbluff. Let's go on a road trip while we're on a road trip.
Does that mean you've also been to South Dakota?
That is, yes.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe we went around.
We took the ramp over. Or
you could have taken the Pac-Man tunnel the other way.
Yes, exactly.
So wait, North Dakota to the east is Minnesota?
To the east is Minnesota. Yes.
To the south is South Dakota. To the north is Canada. I assume.
Correct.
And then to the west is
Montana.
Oh, I was gonna say Idaho.
Idaho pops on the other side of Montana.
Yeah,
just like pops up right there.
How far is Fargo from Canada?
A couple hours.
Oh, okay. So it's
not far. Yeah. But it's not like right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like you drove there to get liquor when you were 18.
No.
Kind of thing.
No, I had some friends who would maybe go up for a weekend. Uh-huh. You know, when we were 18.
Just like head into Manitoba.
Yeah, it'd be like, I'd say like three and a half hours to get to Winnipeg.
Is Manitoba what would be directly above?
I don't know. That was a guess. I went looking for approval, and
just because I think that's not accurate, which is why I didn't give you any approval. But I also don't have any authority to give you approval on something like that.
I know that the city that people went to was Winnipeg. It could be that is. I honestly don't know what province that is, though.
Winnipeg is in... Oh, I don't know. I don't know where Winnipeg is.
I don't know, but I've been to Winnipeg.
So you were this close to North Dakota and you didn't go?
Actually, what did you say about Manitoba?
I said Manitoba?
Is the province that Winnipeg is in.
Yeah! Fucking,
this is what I get for having grandparents that moved to Canada when I was a kid.
There you go.
Wow. I mean, that was like full on, like blindfolded dart kind of guess. Very excited. Because like you asked me to name another province in Canada and I'm... Like, I've got maybe four of the 13.
Is that how many there are?
That's why I said it like that. I don't know.
So basically, North Dakota to the northeast is Manitoba. To the northwest is Saskatchewan. But I've been to I went on a tour. So I've been on Winnipeg, Regina, Saskatoon, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. I've been to all those cities.
Nice.
And they all blur together.
Vancouver blurred together with all
Vancouver
those other
is great. Actually, Saskatoon is really nice too. But Vancouver's beautiful.
Yeah, no Canadian slur on this podcast. Yeah.
Did not like Calgary that much. Calgary's I think somebody told me that it was or Alberta in general is kind of like Texas. They're very oil rich and they're
a little conservative.
And I didn't love Calgary.
What is it with oil? Why does oil turn people conservative?
I don't know, but it's big in North Dakota and it's a very red state.
Maybe it turns people physically territorial.
Ooh.
You know, that makes get a lot off of, sense. Of my land.
I think it's also very rural, and rural areas tend to be red.
Yeah.
I mean, also, if you find oil somewhere, you're going to want to buy a lot of the land. So there's not going to be a lot of urban. That's probably also what's rural. Get as far away from me as possible because I want to drink as much of this milkshake as I can.
And it's not healthy to live by the oil, as the people who probably live by the oil fields in La Brea will tell you.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not healthy to be.
Are these people dinosaurs?
They are not. No.
Is your friend a mother that's trying to get her child out of the oil?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Because she's been trying for quite a while.
Yeah, I know. Time. I know. She's working really hard, and we think this month is going to be the month.
All
right. She gets her child out of the oil?
Out of the tar. Yeah, yeah, it's going to happen.
She works a second job at the Lush in the Grove.
You'd think that she'd just work at the MoMA because it was so much closer, but they don't pay very well. A lot of docents.
So let's talk Timberwolves 2019.
Yes, let's blur past all of the disappointments. The sex boat. The Vikings.
That was the Vikings.
The Vikings was the sex boat, but there was definitely a Timberwolf on that boat.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like you're telling me, Latrell Sprewell didn't come out of retirement to get on
just
a sex
to get
boat.
On the sex boat.
That's 100% a thing that happened.
In those 15 years, what are the Minnesota sports highlights? Is some of this Gophers stuff?
I'm going to say the Kevin Love 30-30 game.
Yeah.
That's a big highlight.
I mean, like, what are some, have they won any championships? Any of the teams? The Twins?
The Lynx have won a bunch of championships.
Lynx, man. Okay. The Lynx have been good.
Yeah, the Lynx have been really good.
Have the Vikings been bad this whole time?
No, they've just been, like, disappointing. Yeah. We're talking, like, high-profile Brett Favre turnovers.
Yeah. The Dante Culpepper, Randy Moss experiment. Not experiment. Amazing team, just not doing well in the playoffs. And, A lot of sad stuff.
A lot of high stakes missed field goals for them.
Ah, yeah. Cursed by a right foot or a left foot.
Well, it's a shame because you don't have any teams to the west that you can really, like, it's Minnesota and then it's a long way to, like, Portland and Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all like everybody there is like Minnesota sports fans or college sports fans.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because NDSU football is incredible.
They're the playoff subdivision team that wins a bunch. The one that, Carson Wentz came out of?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They win the national championship like every year.
Yeah.
It's something like 7 out of 8 years or 7 years in a row or something. It's crazy. They're really good.
Yeah. How could the Timberwolves compete with that? They maybe win 7 or 8 games a month for
that's the pretty entire generous.
They're gonna.
I mean that puts them at about 500, which is kind of where they've like ended up average for like the time when they were like, or maybe not. Maybe they've been worse than that.
Well, I mean, it depends on. I mean, there was. I mean, the year they got Karl-Anthony Towns, they were the worst record in the league, and then they got the number one pick. So that was like 17 wins.
Okay, yeah. Okay, it's been bad.
Yeah.
I think is the key here.
And then the best season they've had since was the Jimmy Butler year when they won 47 games.
Yeah.
Is that 2 years ago?
Yes, that was 2017.
Okay, yeah. Well, they're doing well now.
I mean, you know.
Is Cat off his suspension now? He had 2 games?
2 games.
Yes, tomorrow he'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he missed Washington and Milwaukee.
And they went 1-for-1 without him, right?
Yeah, 1-and-1.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's great. I mean, you know, you lose somebody who's been playing at an MVP level, and you go 1-for-1, 1-for-2, sorry, 1-and-1.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, winning any games without Cat is amazing to me. And I know Washington is a bad team, but, like, they rolled them, man. They were up like 35 points or something at some point in that game.
I mean, having Cat out, I feel like this was the game that Gorgui Dieng went off. Was that what I was talking about? Gorgui Dieng came out of the shadows. I feel like there's always like one tall guy on Minnesota who you're like, oh shit, that guy still plays for Minnesota. And it was the big Serbian guy.
Pekovic.
Yeah. Like that guy. Like it was like a couple of years after he was like, you know, hot and young. It was like, oh, that guy's still, he's still on the team.
Yeah. And well, he fell off the radar because he got injured all the time.
That was it.
Yeah.
But that guy had a neck like a sequoia.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Oh, man. There were games that were very fun to watch pairing him with Kevin Love.
Oh.
Because neither of them could play defense.
Yeah.
But they would just destroy people on the boards.
Yeah.
Like they would both get 16 rebounds in a game and they would just destroy people on the boards. It was so fun to watch.
Amazing.
I was looking at the November schedule for the Timberwolves and it's not out of the question that they could end November. Like it would be a reach, but they could end the month at like 12-6. Which I think is a pretty great start.
Okay. Thought you were going to maybe say 500.
Well, no. Can I tell you who's on their
schedule? I haven't looked at their schedule.
Can I tell you who's on their schedule?
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of very winnable games in the month of November.
All right, talk to us. Let's go through. Let's predict the month of November.
Okay. Cat is back next game. That's tomorrow. That's at Memphis.
Yep. Winnable.
Winnable, yep.
Winnable. On Friday, it's home versus Golden State.
Very winnable.
Right. And you know why it's winnable is because Golden State doesn't have anybody who's over like 5'10". They're the smallest team in the league by far. Like they're going to get
who's
crushed.
The rookie that they're all hot on? He's small. Right?
He is a little small. Eric Paschal. He is like just a little bit undersized for a power forward.
Okay,
kind of like Draymond Green.
Sunday, you got home against the Nuggets.
Tough.
Probably lose.
Yeah.
The Nuggets have not been playing well.
That's true. It's possible to win, but they're not favored.
I will say they're currently crushing the Heat. The next day, they're at the Pistons.
Okay.
I think that's winnable.
That's winnable. The Pistons have not been good this
season. Home on the next Wednesday against the Spurs.
That's a tough game, but you like their chances at home.
The Friday after that is home versus the Washington Wizards.
Oh, that's very winnable.
Shock that one as
Saturday
a
is home versus the Houston Rockets. As we've seen, anyone in the league can beat them.
I mean, yeah. I think any game with the Rockets is going to be competitive, and I think it'll be a close game.
I think it's a huge toss-up.
The next Monday and Wednesday is a home and home against Utah Jazz. At Jazz, at home against the Jazz.
They could lose both of those because I think the Jazz will be rounded into shape around that.
And then
time.
The following Saturday is home versus the Phoenix Suns.
Surprisingly difficult game.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, they did beat the at the time best team in the league, the Clippers. So that makes them the best team.
And they beat the best team in the league, the Sixers. Last night.
That's so right. They're confirmed best team in
best
the
team
league.
Best team in the league.
Best
double
team in
beat.
Both conferences. Yeah. Which means they will probably lose this game against.
Yeah. 100%.
And then on the November 25th, it's at Atlanta.
Okay. I
think that's winnable, and it's at the Spurs. So I mean, there's winnable games. There's a bunch of like 50-50-ish games in there.
Yeah, because right now they're like 5-2.
They're 4-2.
4-2.
Yeah.
Can they win 8 out of those 12 games? I think they could.
Yeah, because there's a number of games in there that it would be surprising if they lost. There's at least a few.
It would be like, actually, it would be kind of be like, oh, that's the team we have.
Yeah. Okay, here's what concerns me, though, is that right now Jeff Teague is questionable tomorrow with an illness. And Shabazz Napier has a hamstring injury, and he's day-to-day.
Yeah.
Those are their only two point guards.
So what would concern me about this statement is not that they're injured, is that you're worried that those two players are injured.
Oh, yeah. No. I know.
I don't know. I think it's time to unleash Point Cat. You know, just like give the man the ball.
Can I make a suggestion for the Timberwolves? Next time they draft two point guards in the first, let's say, 10 picks.
Yeah, okay.
You are mocking their history right now.
What? Yeah. I'm saying they could have done that.
I can't believe it.
What is that reference?
David Kahn.
Ah.
Who is the GM who made those picks?
I wish I could make a Johnny Flynn pun.
Ah.
But I don't have one.
Well, you just said Johnny Flynn, and that's enough to be a joke on this podcast.
So how do you feel about my pick for most improved player of the league? Anthony Wiggins.
Andrew.
No, Anthony Wiggins.
His brother also has...
What's his brother's name for it, actually?
Nick.
Yeah.
He's got a, you know, he's provocative on Instagram.
Yes, he's a provocative guy.
Or like maybe 3 episodes I said that Wiggins was going to be most improved player of the year. It's not really bearing out so far, but I think he's...
I think he's improved enough to be like, wow, good for you, kid. Yeah,
his shot selection is the biggest thing that I've noticed that's gotten better, is that he's not shooting the one step inside the line long twos anymore, which is so big.
Yeah.
Actually, they're proposing that those now count as 2.5 points for people who have big feet. So if he's got big feet, that might actually be good for them.
He is currently scoring 21 points a game. He's averaging... How tall is he?
Six eight.
He's averaging the highest rebounds he's ever averaged per game.
4?
Which is not as high as I think a 6'8 person should get, but it's 5.2.
Oh.
Not bad. But he's just sort of shooting okay. I mean, he's sort of a career 44% shooter, so he's around 43 right now.
Has he ever passed the ball?
I think he has. Does he have 9 assists on the year?
You don't have to talk about all the stats. Like, some, you know, when I say most improved, it doesn't mean in every category.
Got it. Yes.
Is he only assisting 1.7 times per game? Sure.
Yeah.
I think he's a career 2 assists a game guy.
That's weird for someone who also is tall and doesn't get a lot of rebounds. Because then it's like, oh, there's a strong data support here that you are a black hole.
Because it's not like he's got a good dribble. Like, that's not been his thing. He's not like a probing dribbler who can control the offense. He's a... I can score the basketball guy, but he just doesn't do it efficiently enough to be worth his contract, his place. You know, there's like a lot of things that are like around Andrew Wiggins that are like, ooh. But if he was just like, you know, on a mid-level somewhere, people would be like, oh, yeah, Andrew Wiggins, like him.
What do you call a good true shooting percentage?
A good true shooting percentage is going to hover somewhere around like 55%.
Ooh, it's going to be ugly.
He's 52 this year.
Right?
So, that's what he is?
Yeah.
Is he career, what, like 48?
Career 52?
A career 52.
Yeah, last year was his worst year.
True shooting percentage takes into account free throws and three-pointers.
Value, yeah.
So, you know, like, I think that's like an average player is going to be 55. But I think he's getting paid like a not average player. And, you know.
I think that in this league that even in this day of advanced metrics and stuff, if you average around 20 points per game, people are like, oh, you're good.
No, but no one says Andrew Wiggins is good. Nobody well, is I mean, like, and I mean, that guy, but, that guy's
I mean,
good.
When they come to, like, paying people. Like, people get paid for averaging.
He's not going to get that contract like he got based off of his potential, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave him has 4 years left on his deal, though.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess he'll grow into not being worth it still?
Yeah.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is he's going to be a max player. I'm saying he already got the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's... I don't see any way in which he actually becomes a max player. I mean, in order to do that, you have to be at that all-star level, really.
Oh, max I'm, player? Oh, no, I don't... There's plenty of people getting
to
max...
Be, to be
sure,
fair,
but they probably don't deserve it either.
To be fair, he is a max player.
Yeah.
Like, until technically, by the terms of his contract, he is a max player. That's all we have to go on here, is that he is a max player. Just like Goran Dragic is an all-star...
All-NBA.
Oh, All-NBA. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Not All-Star, All-NBA.
Yeah.
You know, I think D'Angelo Russell this summer got artificially inflated because he was an All-Star as well.
Yeah.
I think that owners and general managers still, when it comes to whether or not they're going to, like, overpay someone, they are still just like, well, he scores 20 points a game. Like, can't find that just anywhere. Even though it seems like, maybe you can find it anywhere.
I mean, Jamal Crawford sitting on the bench, you know, he's not playing anywhere. I mean, maybe it's that he's 40, but
I mean, Carmelo's still available. Let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves contract situations.
Oh, ooh, you know what? It's not that bad.
You want to have Cat locked in.
Yeah, he's locked in.
He's locked in for 5 more years.
The Wiggins one is rough. And Gorgie, 2 years, $33 million left.
Yes.
And that's, I mean,
That doesn't seem that bad to me because it ends next year.
It's not bad if he plays and he's good, right? He is not currently playing a ton.
Unfortunately, right? You could say that about any contract.
Because, it's my understanding that Gorgui Dieng is not, like, playing a ton. He's not really in their plans, right?
No, yeah. They're only playing one big right now. They're playing one point guard, three wings, and a big.
Yeah.
That's how they're playing. Even against Philly, which was a terrible idea, and they were down like 32-13 on the boards at half.
Did you say Napier's out tomorrow? Or
he's day-to-day.
Okay. Because then what do they do then if both of the guys are out tomorrow?
Probably Culver. And then probably a lot of Wiggins initiating, even though he doesn't pass.
Huh.
And then probably a Cat starting as well. Or, I mean, obviously starting, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Initiating.
Now,
offense.
I'm not totally sure which of these players is still on this team because sometimes I read these contract numbers and Casey will be like, he's gone, actually.
Yeah, because of the...
Do they have Jordan Bell?
They do.
They do have Jordan Bell.
Can he play point?
No. That guy hasn't dribbled in his life. He's not a dribble guy.
I actually don't even really know who Jarrett Culver is.
He's their first round draft pick this year.
Yes. Oh, he's this young.
Yeah.
I see.
Yes.
Texas Tech, right?
Texas Tech, yeah. He was like a point forward at Texas Tech.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's young, promising. You know, they're excited about the future with him and Okogie and, you know, all the young talent that they got up in Minnesota. Is he ready to win a game tomorrow? As a point guard?
Probably not.
No. But, like, you know, hey, give it a try.
Well, oh, by the way, is Ja Morant, like, in the game tomorrow? I thought there was something about, like, he was... Oh, no. Who was somebody from Memphis was going to miss a game.
Got it.
Maybe it's time. But it will be a battle between these two rookies then, I guess. If that's because they're up against, unless they throw Grayson Allen in wherever he wants.
I mean, you know, Grayson Allen
playing that point.
I'm just kidding. That's just the idea of Grayson Allen playing in a professional game is funny.
Yeah.
He's been not the worst player on the Grizzlies this year, which is
who is the worst player on the Grizzlies?
How's Valanciunas playing?
He's playing fine. You know, they aren't playing him a ton.
Jay Crowder?
Jay Crowder's been better than he deserves to be this season.
Dylan Brooks?
I don't get the whole
Dylan
Brooks
thing. I think Jaren Jackson is maybe going to miss the game. That's who.
Oh, okay. Got
somebody
it.
Was saying. Jeff Teague is in his last year of his contract.
Yes. Are you somebody who has appreciated the Jeff Teague experience in Minnesota?
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
He just, I mean, he's had a tendency to just dribble the air out of the ball, just pound it into the ground.
And it's literally just flat.
On yeah. And he's like so reluctant to shoot when he's open, and he's a decent shooter. He needs to shoot when he's open, and he's just like pump faked when he's wide open and then tried to dribble, and then he just.
Well, here's a question then. Who do you think they should keep either of these guys for point guard next year? Because they're both their contracts are up.
I mean,
Shabazz Napier is on a very cheap contract.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if
1.8.
Yeah, I mean that's the minimum.
So like, yeah. I mean, I would keep him. I don't know how much do you think Jeff Teague is making?
He's making 13.
No, 19.
19.
Speaking of overpaid.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I think they had to do it to, was it? It wasn't a sign and trade. It was, they signed him into like.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when I say like owners are like overpaying for players, then they're always just like, well, we had to. So then it's not really overpaying if the market is saying.
But Jeff Teague never scored 20 points a game.
Yeah.
It was the assists, man. It was the assists.
Hey, speaking of one-time All-Stars,
Jeff Teague?
Another one who's up there, maybe worst All-Stars.
Yeah, that is a good point. When the Hawks got those five All-Stars in there. Can you name all five of those All-Stars from that Hawks team?
What? 2015?
2015.
Wait, five Hawks made...
Five Hawks. The starting All-Star five team. Of the Hawks made the All-Star team. This was that year when they won 60.
Game.
Yes, yeah. 60 games.
Or 60.
And we gave you one of them. It was Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague.
So you got four to go.
Millsap?
Yes.
Wait. Not the guy with the hair. Schroeder?
No.
Was he on the team at the time?
No.
He
might have been a rookie.
Sharif Abdur-Rahim?
No. Al Horford.
Al yeah. Horford.
Kyle Korver.
Al Horford and Paul Millsap, I think, are the same player.
Josh Smith.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. He was an All-Star that recently?
I think that was him. I could be wrong about it being Josh Smith.
Let's see.
But I think
was out
that
of the league,
was
what 2 years later.
Yeah.
Do you think this is 15-16 or 14-15?
I think it's 14-15, but I could be wrong.
Keep talking while I look. Because this will be amazing to me if this is true.
Yeah, because it was the thing that was all five of them made the All-Star team. They're starting five in the year that they were the blitz in the league, and then they lost to LeBron because everybody loses to LeBron.
Yeah, and then did. 15-16, I think Teague went to Indiana, right?
Yes, Teague went to Indiana. Millsap went to Utah.
Did Horford go to...
They only had four.
They had four?
Yes. Unless and that's what Basketball Reference is listing. They had four All-Stars that year. Horford, Korver, Millsap, and Teague. I think we all can rest a little easier knowing that Josh Smith did not make the All-Star.
Okay, fine.
So, what do you think about the fight?
Ooh, you know what? I kind of liked it.
Uh-huh.
I kind of liked it because just with the way that Towns has been labeled soft by so many people, you know, in the media and other fan bases and stuff, especially with what everything that happened with Butler and, you know, to an extent with Tibbs. And then the way that the one matchup he gets crushed every time is Embiid.
Yeah.
And this year, like, Towns, I mean, in general, he's like so overly polished when he speaks to the point that I don't really believe anything he says.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Like, everything feels rehearsed. And then this year is like, he feels like he's being more real. Like it's just gotten to him. To a point, I think he got pissed off that he didn't make the All-NBA team, and that cost him like $32 million.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't even close. He wasn't even close on the All-NBA.
No, he was not.
I think he's like mad about that he lost that money, and that like he's not getting respected in that way.
Ooh.
And he's felt much more like, I don't know, kind of surly. I mean, he's still kind of like this kind of, you know, goofy guy that he always is, but
yeah.
Like... he's felt like he's playing angry more. And I feel like I'm getting more of that vibe when he talks, too.
That's even. So interesting. Because, like, this year, right, he's shooting more three-pointers per game than he has in any season.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, he's shooting over 10 three-pointers a game.
Yeah.
I feel like if somebody was angry about it, they'd, like, get down the block and push people around. Is he... I feel like he's also getting a lot of post work as well. Like, the threes are not taking him away from actually working in the post.
Yeah.
But, like, is the anger... Is he using it on the court in a way to, like, get people to, like, move? Or is he trying to, like, focus it on winning?
I think he's focusing it on winning and, like, on dominating his matchup.
Yeah.
Like, that... The Charlotte game, I know Charlotte's bad, and they were missing their starting center, who is it, Cody Zeller or something?
Yes.
Not that he's all that great, but, like, they don't even have him. And he ended up... Towns put up, what, like 37 and 18, and he did it in like 28 minutes or something, or like 24 minutes.
I mean, he's been on a run, which is why it was, you know, kind of a bummer that the suspension was 2 games. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to watch him the rest of the season, because that, I feel like that tick that you noticed.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep an eye out for that, because that's kind of a cool thing to think about. Like, this is the revenge year. He's just pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, that's what it feels like. It feels like he's playing angry for the first time. And, like, I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on how the fight went down, but to
Well, I was just sort of looking for... I haven't found any good footage of, like, the moments before.
Yeah, it feels like the cameras weren't exactly trained
in the right place. Like, so basically what you're seeing a lot is of them already sort of locked up and going to their floor already.
Yeah.
I will say that if it's a revenge year that involves anger... it'll also be good if it is a little bit of like, hey, Jimmy Butler isn't the reason, like it doesn't, we don't have to have Jimmy Butler to have some edge to our team.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. You don't have to get to the gym at 3 a.m. to have edge because you are very sleepy.
Yeah.
And cranky. You can be cranky because you lost money.
Well, I also just think it's cool when people with a lot of physical gifts also then have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun for the league. Because, I mean, Embiid sort of has had a chip on his shoulder from the beginning. And it's all, by the way, we have always wanted Embiid to have a worthy rival in the league, which is why we had such hopes for Hassan Whiteside. Because he was good at, like, chitter chattering, and then, like, on the court was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I honestly probably would have supported Embiid getting a longer suspension, because I did think there's like evidence of him trying to eye gouge in that fight, which is pretty, like, that's a little bit beyond what these fights normally should be.
Oh, yeah.
What? I don't know. Eye gouging is fun and it's good. And who needs your eyes for basketball?
Yeah.
People it's not even allowed in the UFC.
It's okay, not allowed in rugby. So like in rugby, they will often like single guys out and like, and suspend them for like 6 months sometimes.
What I want to know is, where is eye gouging allowed?
Is it allowed in like pride fighting? Or
not in the UFC.
No, like in Japan. Although there are some mixed martial arts leagues where like it's okay to hit people in the back of the head.
Ooh.
Like because the marginal leagues will be like, we're the league with like no rules.
Got it. It's the XFL. That's where you can.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got first of all, I did get another voicemail from the Clippers.
Ooh.
Saying, hey, do you want to buy some tickets?
We're going to have Clippers voicemail corner.
And then I also got an email from the Los Angeles...
Revenge?
What are they called?
The Los Angeles...
Do I want season tickets for the Los Angeles XFL team? The Los Angeles Wildcats.
Ugh.
Oh my gosh. How are they all the most generic names for every single team in the XFL?
I'm somewhat tempted because it's like there's season tickets for like $35 a game or something like that.
Yeah, but you could spend those $35 on like 5 Clippers games.
Or like on 35 $1 lottery tickets. It'd probably
be if you want to buy a $1 lottery ticket, be my guest. Yeah. The good ones are $2 now.
Yeah. Towns came off better out of that fight than Embiid.
Even with the headlock?
Do you think the headlock made him look worse or better?
I think it made him look worse from like a...
You mean the Simmons headlock?
The Simmons headlock, yeah.
Oh, that was like blindsided though.
Yeah, but like... It's Ben Simmons.
You know, did he tap out?
No. I don't think he tapped out.
No, no. Ben Simmons is tall and he's Australian, which means he's scrappy.
Yeah, that's fair.
And also he didn't see him coming. So, like, you know, I don't know. I thought that the headlock made both of them, both of the Sixers look a little weaker because it's like, I don't know. I thought that for, in terms of like public image that Towns came. I will say also that on Reddit was heavily pro Towns.
Oh.
Because of the eye gouging.
Okay.
And because the headlock was perceived as like unfair, someone else helping in a fight.
Yeah. Reddit may hate women, but boy, if they don't hate eye gougers more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Teague also pulled Embiid off to an extent, but he didn't like jump on his back and put him in like a chokehold.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
Did Teague's arms reach that high?
By the way, Simmons didn't get anything.
Nothing.
That's pretty amazing.
Because he was a peacemaker, according to the league office.
Jeez.
He was making peace because it's very peaceful when you go to sleep.
Interesting that they went to only 2-game suspensions, but they've been going hard on some of these drug suspensions.
The drug suspensions are in the CBA. Like,
yeah,
like these
like codified,
first offense, drug offense, first drug offense is 25.
Who's the other guy that got? John Collins got one today.
John Collins got one today.
DeAndre
Ayton. DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. And what's his face? Wilson Chandler is currently serving one for the Nets right now. I kind of want to figure out like what was going on afterwards with the social media stuff.
What do you mean, figure out what was going on?
Like, is this all just to try to impress Jimmy Butler? Like, the social media posturing between the two of these guys afterwards?
Well, I mean, Joel Embiid always just talks like that.
Talks a ton of stuff.
This is the first time Towns has ever done anything like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you watched, like, his interview right after the game, but he went back into Towns mode of just, you know, people were asking him questions, just, you know, it's a competitive game. Yeah, but like when you're out there and you're getting into it, you know, it's a competitive game, you know, and just like saying, quote unquote, the right thing.
Yeah.
And then I think right after that, he saw Embiid post on social media and I think he snapped and then posted back.
It's the revenge tour. All right.
So wait, you think they were both trying to impress like their former uncle?
Yeah. a little bit. Like, because it just all seemed like way too much. Because like these guys aren't in the same division. Like it's they play each other twice a year.
There's not an organic rivalry between these.
It's mostly just like they were both like young centers. I don't get it other than the Jimmy Butler angle, right?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of honestly Towns and Jokic have a thing, and I don't know why.
I mean, that...
I guess they were drafted in the same class, so they get compared.
Well, no, it makes sense to me. They play 4 times a year.
And they do play 4 times a year.
Right? Like, they've got a thing because they actually play each other and they fight for a playoff spot. The Sixers are just, you know, while they may even be actually closer... Mm-hmm. No, they're not. I'm like looking... No, they're not.
No.
My geometry is not great, even though, you know, I hit you with the...
Like, Manitoba.
I had forgotten Manitoba already. Yeah, the Jokic thing makes sense to me, right? That makes sense because they play each other a lot. The Embiid one, I just like does Jimmy Butler just go around like leaving exes in cities? Like, who's the Chicago guy who's like, oh, I gotta impress old Jimmy Butler?
Is it Markkanen? Garpax?
It's Garpax. Yeah. We figured it out.
Is Minnesota also... I think that's also a team we've talked about that should probably be in the East in some ways.
Yeah, the closest team to them is Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very close to Milwaukee, Chicago.
The border on the West and the East is the Wisconsin and Milwaukee. That's the border there.
That's the border battle. That's why Green Bay and the Vikings are a huge rival.
Huge rivals. Right. And they're in different the Green Bay is in the East and the Vikings are in the West, obviously. That's how it works.
Well, and also that line that you're talking about goes to the east to wrap around New Orleans.
Yes, 100%. It's not a straight line, but it is a line.
So Casey, last week, we decided to start a feature where we'd tell people, hey, let's all watch a game.
Game of the week.
Right. And is it time to already kill this feature?
No. No, I like this feature because here's the thing.
I liked it, too, until I had to watch the game.
Here's the thing. this game was not a good game. This game was a bad game, but it also, it tells us something, right? And it tells us that the second shortest team in the league is the fucking Houston Rockets, who couldn't stop Myers Leonard, who looked like Gulliver just going through the lane.
Yep.
I don't know if you expected me to turn into just literary reference king over
well,
here.
Well, Myers Leonard.
Myers Leonard
was a player that Trailblazers fans were not particularly sad to see go.
No.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched a ton of his game, but he did seem like Patrick Ewing on the Knicks. Yes,
he did. Because it was like if Patrick Ewing had a three-point shot.
Yeah.
Right? This was an insane game. Any game where a team leads by 41 points is an insane game.
Yeah.
And by more than 30 in the first quarter, right?
It's ridiculous.
Was it like 42 to 14 or something? It was something crazy.
And it would have been 42 to 7 if Houston hadn't gone on a run. There was a time when I think Daniel House made a three-pointer and then James Harden made a three-pointer, and that accounted to 50% of their offense in the first quarter.
They went on like a 12 to 3 run at some point, and the deficit was 30. It was crazy.
Right? I mean, this game, it made Duncan Robinson look like the best player in the league. It made Kendrick Nunn look like the rookie of the year. It made Goran Dragic look like he was 8 years younger. It made Jimmy Butler look like he didn't even need to be there. Uh-huh. Like this, I mean, and Houston looked so bad on defense. It looked like
it looked like
they were playing with four people on defense.
That's how bad it was. Many notes about this game.
So talk to me. Let's go through these notes.
Okay. The general thing about their defense is, I don't understand what they are doing and why. So they're doing like a soft switching defense.
Okay.
Which I will say the most tangible effect of the defense that they're running is that they allow defensive lapses without a player knowing that it was their own defensive lapse that caused the play. There are multiple plays in this game where primarily Harden or Westbrook lose an assignment.
Yeah.
And then 6 seconds later, somebody scores wide open, and it's their fault, and they've switched in a way that they look up and they point at other people. They don't even realize it was their mistake.
Okay, so the soft switching defense, that's made to prevent dribble penetration, right? Like, that's the idea there, is that, like, on a pick and roll, it will stop dribble
penetration. I don't think the Rockets know why they're doing it.
But, like, in general, like, you would run that defense against somebody to stop penetration with the dribble, right? Because it makes it harder for somebody to get around a pick or whatever,
yes,
right?
And I believe also if you chase around a screen, you can get it. If you chase, it opens up the jumper for that person.
Yeah.
So you can soft switch to try to, like, also stop a jumper from happening.
Okay, so it stops those two things.
Which makes sense because the Miami Heat were shooting a lot of three-pointers.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Rockets know that that's why they're doing it. Because first of all, they didn't really stop significant dribble penetration anyway.
Yeah.
But it's more just that, like, they had no defensive philosophy about, like, why am I doing this? If I do this, how does it distort our defense? And how do we need to make up for those distortions?
Yeah.
Well, I think of the many differences between Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, defensive IQ is gonna be up there.
Yeah. So one of the problems is that, like, their basketball, I guess defensive IQ, I'll say almost offensive IQ, except for ISOs, is significantly lower than it was last year.
Okay.
Well, that's true. I mean, Chris Paul's just a very smart player.
Yeah.
All around. Yeah.
And a favorite of the podcast, one of Chris's favorite players.
Not at all. But I will say that this game again makes it very hard for me to root for this Rockets team, because this is what I realized. Like, this is the existential crisis I was having while watching this game, is that when you're watching a sport, what it comes down to with, like, who you want to root for or whatever, is you kind of just want to root for, like, prepared, high effort, good execution. And then, like, whatever happens off the court is kind of like what you deal with, right? So, like, I have friends who are Washington Nationals fans. Now they got to deal with this asshole putting on a MAGA hat for Trump, right? But, like, so whatever I feel about LeBron, because I don't like LeBron, I think his comments about Hong Kong were fucking stupid. And then, but I can't root for Russell Westbrook. He's a fucking idiot on the court. Like, I can't.
So that's the thing that's more important to you is that, like, Russell Westbrook, a great guy in the community, you know, man, really just.
What if Russell Westbrook came out and be like, free Hong Kong? Like, I stand with them. He, you know, at the All-Star break, he skips All-Star break. He flies to Hong Kong to protest.
Okay.
And then I have to be like, but I still don't like watching him on the court.
Well, I mean, he'll probably have time to fly to Hong Kong if he keeps playing like this, because he's not going to be an All-Star if they're this bad. This was the Rockets' first game of the season that was not close.
Uh-huh.
Right. All of their wins and losses previously had been very close games, right? So, and they had pretty much 50-50'd most of those games, right? It was, I think they lost one or two and they won three or four, right?
Yeah.
This game in particular made it seem like those like coin flip games with bad teams were more representative of who they are than like an actually good team.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yes, it's one game. It can be bad. But just the personnel that they had on the floor never seemed like it was enough to deal with, like, the flotsam in the end of Miami's rotation, right? Like, James Johnson played well. Kelly Olynyk came back from the dead.
Yeah.
Like,
now, it's hard to, I think in the second half of this game, it's hard to tell some of that because this game was in garbage time in the second quarter. Like, I wrote, here's a
second, that's generous.
Here is a lineup that Miami Heat put out in the second quarter for a significant amount of time.
Okay.
Was Hero, Duncan Robinson, James Johnson, Goran Dragic, and Kelly Olynyk. And I was like, they're getting stomped by these five people.
Right.
But so it's a little misleading because they were playing with a lot of freeness and freedom of having a 30-point lead, which I think I still would put probably, I would hope that a James Harden lineup would be competitive with those five guys if the game was close.
I mean, James Harden has not had a good year so far.
He's not shooting well.
I mean, he's made more free throws than the Orlando Magic the stat that was bandied around on Twitter.
He played offensively okay in this game. He got 29 points. He made 14 of 14 free throws.
Yeah.
So
just think about it. If they didn't have him, they would have lost by 60.
Yeah. I will say two things. For the Rockets, they had a nice little bit of play from Chris Clemens in his NBA debut.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He scored like 16 points or something in his very first NBA game. And this is why I thought last year, I think we were saying that the Rockets were very small.
Yes.
Not a good rebound team.
Correct.
So I think it's very smart that they added a 5'8 player to their to their roster, because a 5'8 player that can dribble, and I'm sure that's going to help them with rebounding.
I mean, can you pull up the Rockets bigs right now?
Sure, let's take a look.
It's literally just Capella and Tyson Chandler and Nene, and then Ryan Anderson.
Like, no, he's back on the team?
He's back on
the
team.
Who actually didn't play that badly when he came in.
Wait, did he get cut by who, the Heat or something? What team was he on?
I mean, I think he was on Phoenix. Because he went over in the Tyler Johnson
game. Okay, you want to know bigs? Their starting bigs are Capella, PJ Tucker, Daniel House. Eric Gordon is listed as their second small forward. Oof. And Daniel House is their backup power forward.
Because Daniel House is like 6'8", 6'9", right?
Yeah,
he's a little taller than I thought he was.
Built like a small forward, right?
And he is like a guy that's been in the league for like 6 months total or something.
Yeah, I mean, he is one of their bright spots on the season so far.
And from last year, too. But like, that's still asking a lot of someone.
I mean, it's tough because Capella is good. Like, I'm just going to say it. He's good. Mm.
He's not great. Is he a max player?
No, he is not a max player. Okay. But he's good, and he's good enough to be a starting center on a good team.
Yeah.
But when he's not in the game, I don't see how teams won't just pick and roll them to death, because it was a layup line. All right. I'm like a kid's coach.
I mean, the thing is that some of this is like rim protection, but a lot of it is that this team is terrible because your two biggest stars do not care about defense. Harden and Westbrook fell asleep probably seven times and Harden like five. Like I was going back and rewinding every time. There were lots of like layups and dunks in this game.
Yeah.
And or wide open three pointers. There was one three pointer I think that Duncan Robinson made from the far corner where they didn't even run anything. A pass slightly mishandled. Dragic threw it. They just threw it around the arc, and no one was on Duncan Robinson, and he just made three-pointer by himself. And the problem is that Harden and Westbrook do not care, and they never take responsibility for when it's their fault. And it's their fault more than half the time, those two guys. So Westbrook particularly just gets lost on defense, just watching the ball when it's not – like his player passes it away, two passes away – and he's just staring at the ball. The guy back cuts him, and like that's it. Like it's so, it's truly awful.
It's Houston as a team is just a team that's like the supporting cast has gotten chipped away little by little, like every summer since that year when they had the team that was just like perfectly constructed around.
Like I remember that summer, I was like, they're losing Ariza and Mbambute.
Yeah,
I was like, this is a big deal. Like these guys are Ariza's perfect for their scheme.
Yeah,
and people were just like, eh, it's fine. I also think that like I really like PJ Tucker and I like Eric Gordon, but they are undersized in a way that is almost like when they had that perfect setup, it's like the synergy of all of them and Chris Paul, like Chris Paul and PJ Tucker, I think Chris Paul helped PJ Tucker's game a lot. Because now in these games, PJ Tucker just looks too small and too kind of old and slow to even be on the court. Like against the Heat, it looked like just a bunch of young guys with lots of energy just running around, especially with like Nunn, Hero, and Robinson just playing like all-stars to be.
Yeah.
How real do you guys think Kendrick Nunn is?
He actually didn't play that well this game.
Yeah. I mean, overall, he's just been just on fire.
Yeah. I mean,
I have no idea because this is the only game I've ever watched him play.
It's not just that he's like making shots too. He's making plays, which is very impressive. And I'm excited to watch him the rest of the season. Like I think he's been the best rookie so far.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of really good rookies this year.
He's got to come down to earth a little bit. Like, I can't imagine that this guy was sitting in the G League last year. Like there's to me, like this feels a bit like Linsanity.
Okay.
Like, you know, that for that month, and he was amazing for like a month, and then he came back down to earth, and he was fine. He was like a solid player. But, you know, for that month, he was like 27 points one night, 30 points the next night.
Well, game like, winners.
It's funny because you tweeted, I think you tweeted, like, the Heat are for real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that, I think they're good, but I don't think they're for real based on this game. I mean, think that this kind of defense will make any team look like an incredible team.
I think the Heat are for real. And the reason I think the Heat are for real is because they have shown so far early in the season that their system is working, right? Because they've plugged guys in with, you know, players being out. I think that they have enough talent, and Bam Adebayo, I didn't give him enough credit at the beginning of the year.
I really like
that guy. Is good.
He's good.
I think that, you know, bringing Goran Dragic off the bench, like they're deep in a way that like I wasn't ready for.
You say they're for real, what do you mean? Like how far do you think they're going to get in the playoffs?
I think that they could be a second round playoff team.
Okay. I think that's fair.
At the beginning of the year,
like we both had them lower than that.
Yeah, I think I had them like a sixth to ninth seed. Yeah. I think they're a second to fifth seed kind of a team.
I think those dudes, Hero, Robinson, and Nunn, are like good.
Yeah,
I think against a coordinated defense that they'll be young guys. By the way, they lost to the Nuggets tonight by 20 points.
Okay.
Kendrick Nunn was 4-14, had 11 points.
Oh.
So he had 5 points against Houston, he had 11 points against... So he's probably... There's a little bit of already coming back down to earth.
Okay.
And...
It's that Denver nightlife, man. Undefeated.
Let me read you some box score points from this game against the Nuggets. Bam Adebayo had 6 points. Ooh. Myers Leonard had 10. Justice Winslow had 10. Jimmy Butler had 16, and Olynyk had 13, and Dragic had 9. It's not a good offensive game, by the way.
I mean, spread out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the important thing. It's like when you plot them on a graph.
No, it's like rations. They got the points rationed, and everybody came out of it, you know, we may have lost the battle, but they're hoping to win the war on the season.
I will say, growing up in Houston, I believe our home announcer was Gene Peterson, and who is like notorious. I think that's his name. Notoriously, like, very partial home court announcer. And Matt Bullard is now their announcer, and he's actually very. Like he called, he at one point was like, that's a travel, like on Westbrook before the refs did, which I thought was funny. They're very like impartial. They were just like, that wasn't a good play.
That's funny.
So here's one thing I wrote down. Rockets are switching someone in a passing lane on a cut to someone out of position. Like they don't know why they're switching.
Yeah.
So they switched. There was a particular, they tried to jump a pick and roll by switching it early, except the guy that was in the way of where like the layup pass would be switched out of that position, and Westbrook, who was like on the other side of the player, switched to him. So it was just an easy dump off pass for a layup. It like made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like maybe you are starting to, like, it doesn't make sense to switch to stop dribble penetration, but give up penetration that doesn't require dribble, like where you're at the rim already when you get the ball. So it was very strange. I wrote down at one point, are they playing a zone ? And I don't think they were. Westbrook really will. He hangs out around the lane and kind of attaches himself to a player so that it looks like he's guarding someone. That's truly what's happening. Like at the ends of plays, you see him sort of tag up against a big while his man has run around for an open three-pointer on the other side of the court.
Wow.
Then...
it also means he gets to be in by the basket to grab rebounds and get his triple-double.
Ooh. That's true. Yeah. Did you watch with the announcer, or either of the announcers?
No, I had it on mute.
Okay, so the Houston one guys eventually started talking about the refs in fun ways, because one of the guys' names is Sean Corbin, and okay, they kept calling him Sean Puffy Corbin. And so like I wrote down, you know the game is bad when the refs are becoming characters in the narrative, because the announcers just start talking about like, yeah, he's a guy that you know. And then I wrote, Olynyk versus Clemens, matchup of the century.
David versus Goliath.
Terrible game.
Well, we got to pick a game for this weekend, and I think that I've got two options here.
I already see a fun one, even based on some of our conversation tonight, to see if the Heat are for real. That's an option.
That is an option. My guess was for the two games I wanted to suggest Nuggets Timberwolves on Sunday.
Ooh, that's not a bad one either.
Or Raptors Lakers on Sunday night.
Wait, the date of the Sunday night game is what?
The 10th.
Why do you think it was the 8th?
Because the 8th is Friday.
Oh, that's Friday. 9-10. Let's see. I was going to suggest I will probably check out that Heat Lakers game on Friday.
Then let's do it. Let's follow the Heat. Ooh, I like it.
Follow until they lose.
Follow the winning team.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's the way we work our game of the week. Now we did it, and it's not just an improv thing. We came up with it beforehand. I like that. I like it too.
I would like to see Myers Leonard repeat his performance against McGee, Davis, and Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, our defensive stalwart. Ostensibly, we talk a lot of Lakers on this podcast, but we're going through a little bit of a crisis of conscience over here on the.
I know, but I can tell you right now, I'm going to end up being a Lakers fan again if they keep playing this way.
Oh, they're playing great,
because the core essence of watching sports is, if I give my time to this team, do I feel good when it's done?
Yeah,
and I've tried it with the Clippers, and I can't stand Patrick Beverly. Yeah. And I tried it. I don't see any way that I can successfully watch this Rockets team, because they. And what makes it even more frustrating is that Gordon, Tucker, Capella, you see all these guys really working hard on the court, and then you just see Harden, Westbrook just like fucking off.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't. They really play like it's like Drew League or something, where they're just like, cool, you scored 2 points, I'll go and score two now. And that's just not, like, seeing the other guys, like, you can't say the Rockets didn't put effort into that game, because even when they were down by 30, they were still working. They were like running to try to get back into the game.
Yeah.
And they were just outmatched.
Yep.
And they're depending on these two guys to carry them, and it's not going to. But against the Lakers team, this will be fun.
We'll see.
I've never been able to just, like, pick a team and like them. Like, for better or worse, I've just been cursed with liking the Timberwolves. So yeah. I guess for worse, but
It's interesting. I'm a Lakers fan. Yeah. I've always been a Lakers fan, but I also will enjoy other teams. You know, yeah. I like to sample the platter, go on because the NBA is like a buffet, right? It's yeah. all you can watch basketball. I love it. And so it's easy for me to like follow other teams that I think are cool. Like I love Giannis. Like I'm always here to watch some Giannis dunks and amazing play. But that like need to like follow my team, I feel that.
Yeah,
yeah, I feel that.
Yeah,
yeah. It's yeah. It's been a rough couple of years in Lakerland, but yeah. like. Karmically, like, we deserve it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's
it's kind of like what Draymond yeah. is saying about the Warriors.
Yeah, right exactly.
Like, ooh, speaking of which, can I toss something out there that nobody saw coming? That is a truth about the NBA?
Yes.
The Phoenix Suns are better than the Golden State Warriors.
Whoa. Like, that would have made sense 15 years ago.
With Kevin Johnson. We would have been like,
yikes, 25 years ago. 15 years ago, Steve Nash.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Versus who? Kalena Azubuike, who was on the Warriors then. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That sounds...
Andres Biedrinch?
Oh, I mean, give me some We Believe up in here.
Yeah.
Yes. No one saw that coming because we all thought the Suns would be awful. I mean, it's early, of course, but mm-hmm. they have looked like a better team.
Is that a Monte Ellis type?
That's a Monte Ellis type situation.
Timberwolves have Memphis and Golden State this week, and Denver as well. Oh, so, yeah. Memphis, Golden State, Denver, Detroit. How many of those four games do you think they're going to win?
You know what? I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say 3-1.
Hey, ooh. I think that's realistic.
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
I would also say if you're a Rockets fan, we should bookmark like. The next time this Rockets defense goes against like a truly formidable like technical offensive team such as like Denver or the Mavericks, because mm-hmm. like Doncic is like carving up defenses.
Yeah,
he carved up the Lakers the other night pretty
oh,
well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So like I just kind of want to see like what is it like when like a guy with like an incredible court vision, height, and passing ability like goes against this Rockets team. It'll be kind of fascinating. Yeah. Just not to say they can't turn around, but they fired all their assistant coaches over the summer, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, it's not like D'Antoni has had a history of like shoring up defenses in his career. So we're going to feature Miami Heat till they lose.
We're going to feature whoever
yeah.
wins.
And then, you know,
and then find them in a game yeah. next week.
This would be great if, like, we go on some Phoenix Suns run.
After watching a bunch of Phoenix Suns. Who games. Is going to be the king of the Rule of Threes podcast this week?
Yeah.
Well, this week it was the Miami Heat. But truly, the king of the Rule of Threes podcast this week was Luke Jensen.
That's right.
So.
Oh, you're too kind.
Luke, do you have anything you want to plug?
Do I have anything I want to plug? Not off the top of my head. Wait, I have a podcast.
Hey!
It's called What Did You Learn with Luke and Monica, where we occasionally will watch a documentary and then have a guest and talk about it.
That's very fun.
Yeah. Cool.
On the standard Apple Podcasts.
Stitcher, all the standard places, yeah.
Download those podcasts, people.
Yeah, the most recent one we did is the documentary Hail Satan? On Hulu, which is about the...
Do they have to be explicitly educational documentaries, or could they be anything?
Oh, they could be anything. We once did the special features behind-the-scenes documentary of The Force Awakens.
Oh, wow. Have you done Dear Zachary?
No, I don't think we have.
Ooh, gotta do Dear Zachary. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think it will create a very interesting podcast episode.
Yeah, yeah, that one's an intense one.
Is that one of the ones that's super sad?
Oh yes. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Can't give it away on
all. All right.
But it's that.
All right. So that's my one thing. Yeah. What did you learn?
Love it. Love it. Go cool. check it out.
Casey, you have any shows this week?
Let's see. Thursday night. Thursday the 7th. Logan Everett has our second anniversary show.
Mm.
So it's our 2-year anniversary of hosting the yearbook show, and we blew it out. We rented an extra hour from the theater.
Whoa.
We got a bunch of teams. We got one of the first teams that ever performed at our show, Poppy. We got a bunch of other teams comprised of people who have coached us over the years. So it's like a lot of really fun teams. UCB Herald team Bitchin', people from UCB's Yeti. Yeah, we're just super excited to celebrate. And we even got our little Logan a sport coat. Oh. He's got a little blazer that Fiona's mom made him. So he's all dressed up and ready to have a party. It's at the Moving Arts Theater, as it is every first and third Thursday of the month.
2 years of that show. That's all.
2 years of that show, yeah.
I have a show Thursday, but I'm not going to plug it because you should go see this.
Yeah.
Friday night, I'll be in Baby Wants Candy at UCB Sunset at 7:30.
Love it.
That's pretty much it.
Great.
And then we'll all be tuning in. I'll probably, you know what? Maybe I'll skip that Friday show and watch Miami Heat Lakers.
There we go. That's
is it a home game, by the way?
It is a home game.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, if you want
to call in sick to the improv show.
Yeah, exactly. And then pay $300 for a nosebleed seat.
I'll lose a night's pay doing improv.
Oh, Chris, that's a real bummer. You got to watch out.
Real trade-off I have to face.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Luke, for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time.